Nice to see you.
No, you must stay all day.
Getting you through this with us.
All right, so three, you said three is a disqualifier, right?
No.
No.
I had one.
Five.
Five.
Non-firing next. They have a case before.
They have another case, okay. Case number three, 23-504.
Good morning, Attorney John Basso for the issuing authority, GRA SSO. I'll be calling two witnesses.
Okay.
Let me bring them forward.
In that case, I didn't see any dates or any supporting evidence for that.
Hey, Attorney Grasso, would you like to make a brief introductory statement?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
Today, the issuing authority will call two witnesses, Officer Semerero and Sergeant Canizio, both of the Ansonia Police Department. The evidence will show that in the early morning hours, approximately 3:30 a.m. on June 12th, 2022, in complete darkness in a public space alongside, in a state forest, not deep in the woods, but right alongside a public road, that the appellant fired several rounds from a pistol, allowed another person accompanying him to fire several rounds from a pistol. Someone, a neighbor, houses nearby, called police. Both the appellant and the person he was with fled in, towards the woods. The evidence will show that the appellant's companion, a female, stopped when police, specifically Officer Semerero, commanded her to stop, but the appellant just kept running. And over the next several hours, the appellant ultimately came back to the scene, but over the next several hours, there were repeated misrepresentations as to what had occurred and where the pistol was. And it took effectively 4 hours before the pistol was ultimately located where the appellant had stashed it. And the appellant and his companion were plainly aware of their misconduct because of their repeated misrepresentations as to what had occurred and as to where the pistol was located. The pistol was ultimately located, stashed in the woods, apparently still loaded. So with that, I could begin examining the witness.
Well, we just need an opening statement. Would you like to make an opening statement, sir?
I don't really know what to say. I've never been in any trouble. I don't really know what to say, honestly. I just went off into the woods and figured I didn't see too much harm in firing off a couple of rounds in the woods. You know, it's dense woods. There's no real risk of injury to anybody around. Just stupid move, honestly, but I get that now. Best I can say is it would never happen again.
All right. Attorney Grasso, can we get spelling for Officer Semerero?
Yes. First name Catherine, C-A-T-H-R-Y-N, S-E-M-E-R-A-R-O.
Thank you. You may begin with your examination.
Officer Semerero, how many years have you been a police officer?
5 years.
How many of those years have been with the Ansonia PD?
All five.
All five. At about 3:30 a.m. on June 12th, 2022, were you and other officers dispatched to the scene of an incident in the vicinity of Beaver Street, Ansonia, near the intersection with Clinton Road?
Yes.
What information did you have when you responded to the scene?
We got a report for approximately 5 shots fired in the area.
Okay. Did other officers respond with you?
Yes.
Do you recollect the names of those other officers?
It was Sergeant Barrera, Officer Rivera, and Officer Stowe.
Did you travel in one vehicle or multiple vehicles?
We all were in our own vehicle.
Now, when you arrived at the apparent scene, what did you observe?
There's a parking lot off of Beaver Street, and there was a black Dodge pickup truck. When we got out, the truck was still warm, and then at that point, we heard two individuals running through the woods, and then when we commanded for them to stop, a female stopped, and then the appellant continued to run.
Now this area, is it alongside this parking area? Is it alongside a paved road?
Yes.
And so Beaver Street is a paved road. Are there houses in the vicinity?
Yes.
And I understand you to say that the truck was parked in a roadside parking lot?
Yes.
Still warm?
Yes.
Okay. Did you identify the person who stopped on the command to stop?
Yes, she was fully identified.
Okay, and who was this? Do you recollect her name?
Her last name was Salisbury.
Say again, please.
Salisbury.
Salisbury. Okay. Her approximate age, do you recollect?
She was approximately in her mid-30s.
Okay. Now, what did she tell you? Did you question her?
Yes.
And what did she have to say?
We had asked if she knew who else was running the way. She had said no. And we had asked if she had heard any shots fired, and she said no. And she had also denied knowing whose truck was in the parking lot.
Okay. By that time, had one of the officers identified the owner of this truck in the parking lot?
Yes.
And was the owner of this truck the appellant?
Yes.
Okay. What steps were taken to contact the appellant?
So we have an in-house system. Sergeant Barrera requested our dispatch center to search your in-house system for if we had any phone numbers, which we did. And then he attempted to make a phone call, which yielded to no results, so he had left a voicemail.
Okay. Did you see any items of interest in and around the passenger compartment of the truck?
Within the truck, there was a empty gun holster, and then outside the truck, there was a spent 40 caliber round.
Okay. Did you see any evidence of alcohol or
something? Yes, there was an open bottle of Budweiser as well.
Did the efforts to contact the owner of the truck ultimately succeed?
At the end, yes, but it took a little bit. We also sent Hamden out to attempt to make contact. And then he ultimately made a contact.
Okay. Do I understand you to say the appellant ultimately responded to the voice messages that had been left for him?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the owner of the truck that night? Did you, in other words, as events unfolded, did you get a look at him?
Yes.
Is he here today?
Yes.
Is this him to your right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what was it that Ms. Salisbury told you had occurred?
Originally, she said nothing had happened. And then after she was taken into custody, she had stated that she was speaking to the appellant in regards to having plans to go to a gun range at one point. They fell through, and that she wanted to blow off some steam following her mother's memorial. So that's when she told us that the appellant allowed her to fire the firearm.
So do I understand you to say that she said that the firearm had been fired at the scene to which you responded?
Yep, she admitted it fired into a tree.
Okay. And this is about 3:30 in the morning?
Okay.
Now, initially you said that Ms. Salisbury denied knowing anything.
Yes.
Did you ultimately read her Miranda rights?
Yes.
Did her story change after she'd been read her rights?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and her story changed to what you just recounted?
That's right.
Okay. Now, did she tell you that the appellant had allowed her to fire a pistol?
Yes.
How many rounds did she fire?
She admitted to firing approximately 3 to 5 rounds.
Did she indicate that she had any kind of training in handling and firing a pistol?
No, she did not.
And again, this was before daylight?
Correct.
Was there any street light illuminating that immediate area? Thank you. I have no further questions for you at this time. The appellant might have questions for you.
Thank you, Attorney Grasso. Sir, keeping in mind you'll be able to tell us your side of the story in a moment, do you have any questions of the officer based on what she just testified to?
No.
Does the board have any questions for the witness?
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just say what time this happened?
Approximately 3:30 in the morning.
Okay. Because you said before daylight, so I was going about 3:30. Okay. Thank you.
Did the witness indicate that the appellant fired as well?
She says she wasn't sure.
Thank you.
Officer, do you have this map?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out where this happened on this map.
I can bring it over to the officer. Would you like the officer to mark it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Would you please mark on this map, take a minute to get oriented, and then put an X at the parking area that you've described. Here.
Oh, so it's the parking lot for the state forest? Is
yes.
That
yes.
Okay. What is the it's the parking area. Yeah, it's the it is on the east side. There's two parking lots, it looks like a west side and an east side. It's the east side parking lot. And that's Beaver Street?
Yes.
Is it turning to Clinton Road right after
yes.
that? Okay. What is the closest house to that parking area?
There's houses right across the street.
From oh, okay. Any other questions?
From the parking lot area, which I suppose is where, well, let me back up. Where were they standing in relation to the parking lot when the shots were fired?
We don't have an exact location of where they were standing.
Do you know whether or not, what direction the firearm was pointed at when they shot the tree?
We do not.
Was it toward the road? Was it down the road? Was it into the forest?
Nothing was reported to me.
Nothing. So you have no idea which way it was facing?
Nope.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
It does appear that the shot was fired from the parking lot.
At least one.
Based on, at least one, okay. No other casings were recovered?
That's because the casing was there near the truck?
Other questions? Yep.
Mentioned a beer in the car. Was there evidence that the appellant had been drinking or the woman?
The female admitted to coming from a bar.
Okay.
That she was with the appellant.
Did she demonstrate behavior of being intoxicated, or did the appellant demonstrate that type of behavior, the classic DUI type things, slurring words, stumble, anything?
The female, I had more interactions with the female than I did with the appellant, but the female did, yes.
Okay. Thanks. Oh, did you ever determine who was driving? I know it was the appellant's truck. What, did he drive there?
No.
You don't know?
Okay. Next witness.
Yes, thank you.
Attorney Grasso, if we could just start with the spelling of the sergeant's name.
Yes. Sergeant, I'll let you spell your first and last names, please.
John, J-O-H-N, Canizio, C-A-N-N-I-Z-Z-I-O.
Got that, Nancy?
Got it.
Okay, you may proceed, counsel.
Sergeant Canizio, how many years have you been a police officer?
7 years, sir.
How long have you been with the Ansonia Police Department?
All 7.
Okay. You heard Officer Semerero testify just moments ago. What was your interaction with the appellant on the night in question?
My interaction with the appellant started when he responded to Sergeant Barrera's phone call. Sergeant Barrera gave him instructions to walk down Beaver Street and gave him other commands such as keep your arms raised. At that time, I deployed my patrol rifle chambered around as we did not know where the firearm was. As the appellant was walking towards our direction, Officer Sterling apprehended him and placed him in arrest, under arrest, at which time I made my rifle safe and got back into my cruiser, followed Officer Sterling and the appellant into police headquarters.
Did you interview the appellant?
I did. After he was read his rights, which he agreed to waive and speak freely and voluntarily to us.
And what did he have to say?
He reported that he was at the memorial for Brianna Salisbury's mother that recently passed away. He proceeded to report that they spontaneously decided to go to the woods off of Beaver Street. He drove his pickup truck there and initially reported that she was the only person inside of the vehicle with him at that time.
Okay. And what did he say happened there?
He stated that they went into the woods and he allowed her to shoot, three or four rounds into a tree about 5 minutes away from where they parked the vehicle.
Did he himself get to shoot any rounds?
Not upon the first question. I believe it was the second time when he was Mirandized, yes.
Okay, tell us about that, please. So he made some initial representations.
Correct.
What did he have to say about the whereabouts of the pistol? Did you question him about that?
Initially, Officer Sterling was questioning him about the whereabouts out of concern for public safety. He did not initially provide us with the exact location. He did state that he took the firearm home to Hamden after he was picked up by an unknown companion that was never identified, and that the companion took him home, he placed it in a safe at the house, and
So his testimony, not testimony, his representation initially was that he left the scene.
Correct.
That somebody else took him back to his residence.
Correct.
And that he secured the firearm there.
Correct.
And then that he returned to the scene. How did he purportedly get back to the scene?
I'd have to refer to my report if it was even mentioned. I believe the friend probably drove him back.
Okay, as you think about it, was that his basic representation, that someone picked him up there, took him home, brought him back?
Yes.
After he had secured his weapon?
Yes.
His firearm. Okay. Did you believe his story?
No, the time frames weren't really adding up at that point. From, let's say, Beaver Street to Hamden, he said the totality only took 40 minutes or so under maybe perfect circumstances. I just found that very hard to believe, to get from A to B, to do that, then to get back in the amount of time. It didn't seem plausible.
Did you ultimately read him his Miranda rights?
Yes.
Did that affect his story, his representations in any way?
Eventually, yes. Upon the second time reading him his rights, he did admit to walking into the woods with her, shooting two rounds himself into a tree to show her how it was done, and then she proceeded to shoot three or four more times.
Now, what did he have to say as time went on, what did he have to say about the whereabouts of the pistol?
So approximately I want to say a good 2.5 hours later when he was being processed, maybe at about 7 o'clock in the morning or so, he looked at me, started to cry, and pretty much said, you know, I have something to tell you. Can you kill that? Referring to my body camera, asked me to turn it off. Told him that was not an option, and at which point he came clean and stated that the firearm was actually located across from 523 Beaver Street, which is a person that he grew up. I think the name was Adrian Meary. He has some sort of affiliation, maybe a family member of Adrian Meary. So he stated that he stored the firearm across the street in the woods near her residence.
Was there ultimately a search for this firearm?
There was, roughly at about 7:30 in the morning. Sergeant Barrera, Sergeant Sturgis, and myself went out to 523, walked across the pavement and down a little embankment near the woods, and found the firearm. Sergeant Sturgis found it on a log, on top of the log.
It was visible on top of the log?
Correct.
Were there any rounds in a magazine?
There were 3 rounds that were found inside of the magazine after the firearm was made safe.
And let me ask you, you obviously had a lengthy encounter with the appellant. Do you recognize him here?
Yes.
Is there anything that I've neglected to ask you that you think the board should hear?
I do not believe so, sir.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Attorney Grasso. Sir, do you have any questions for the sergeant?
No.
Does the board have any questions, Chief?
The first officer testified that the woman told her that they were coming from a bar.
Correct.
So they went to the memorial and then to a bar?
The memorial was held at
the memorial.
Rollins, if I'm not mistaken, in Seymour.
Okay. From what I got from your testimony, the gun was unattended from the time of the incident when the appellant put it on the log until 7:30 in the morning. So 4 hours, does that sound about right? 3.5, 4 hours?
Yes. So I believe after the appellant fled the scene, he stashed the firearm, which I believe he did admit to. So maybe I did not state that the initial.
Yeah, no, I got that. I just trying to figure out how long. So about 4 hours it was on top of that log? About?
I'd say 3 to 4 hours, yes.
Okay. Was it visible if someone had just walked by?
Not from the street level, to the best of my recollection, if you were in the woods, because I believe it slightly, the grade does go down a little bit. If you walked into the woods in that area, it's very possible that it could have been found.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time with the appellant in booking, and had he been drinking?
I believe so, yes. I did not note it in my report, but I believe that alcohol was.
What indications did you have that he had been drinking?
Appearance. You know, he was disheveled. His clothes were dirty. There may have been an odor. You know, I was a substance abuse counselor prior to being a police officer, so I knew the signs. So I believe he was drinking, yes.
Okay,
can I tell you how much? No.
So they were at the bar for the memorial, probably having drinks, because the other officer testified the woman had been drinking.
Yes.
Then drove to this parking lot. How far a drive was that?
Guess would be about 15 minutes or so.
And there was an open beer in the car. You may not know. I mean, she said there was. The other officer said.
Yes, I did hear that.
Okay. Fired a few rounds into the tree. When the police came, they fled. And it was 4 hours later when the gun was found loaded, visible, albeit not, you know, at the road. But certainly, if someone had walked by, they would have seen the gun on the log.
Sure, could have.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions by the board?
Sergeant, from the time that the female and the appellant like took off when you guys arrived, what was the time frame before he was taken into custody?
So I believe Officer Semiro responded roughly at 3:42.
Yep.
At which point the appellant fled. I believe the phone call made from Sergeant Barrera was roughly 0500 when the appellant was placed under arrest roughly 5:15 in the morning.
Okay. And again, approximately how far from the road was the firearm found?
I would say under 75 feet.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Other questions by the board?
So he was placed under arrest. How long was he in custody before he was released?
Let's say 5:15, placed under arrest. I believe we started to process him roughly at 7, maybe 2 hours or so.
Okay, and then he was released?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, all right. So the gun... kind of a hypothetical situation here, but if he had, he left the gun in the woods, the gun's loaded in the woods, he could have, had the gun not been seized, when he was released a few hours later, early morning, he could have gone back and retrieved the gun, if that was his intent. I know it's a hypothetical question, but.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions by the board?
When I read, What were the charges? Were there?
Their AR was successfully. I just make note.
Thank you.
Okay, so in the case we went through the accelerated rehabilitation.
Illegal discharge.
I could look it up.
Well, if you remember.
Interfering with a police, with an officer.
I do not recall the exact charges. Not that.
The report says.
Assault and interfering. Okay.
Any other questions by the board? Seeing none. Counsel, do you have any other witnesses?
No, I don't.
Okay. And, sir, I heard you were successful with your AR, so your case is not pending anymore. Okay. You can tell us what you'd like us to know.
The whole incident, again, if I can go back, obviously none of it would have taken place, but the best I can say is that two people who had never been in any trouble whatsoever, so it was just pure panic. And that's why I hit out in the woods and really just tried to find any way to get out of the situation without it getting any worse, ultimately made it a little worse myself. But they told you what they had. I will say I don't drink, though. I know, I'm not trying to go against what you're saying, but anybody who knows me, I don't drink alcohol. I'm not, rarely maybe a beer. I'm just not a drinker. Disheveled, and I was hiding out in the woods, it's panic and not knowing what was going to happen. I was legitimately scared, again, never been in trouble, really was not trying to get in any trouble, was just trying to help her out through a tough time. I made a mistake. There's really nothing else I can say to, make my side any better. The best I could say is it would never happen again. I made a lot of mistakes that night, and if I can go back, it would never happen, but it did, so.
Great. Attorney Grasso, do you have any questions for the appellant?
Yes, briefly. Sir, your appellant questionnaire, do you have a copy of it with you, by chance? I can show you a copy. You walk over. I'm going to draw your attention to number 19 here, which would state here any additional facts, which would support your case. State what you want the board to do and why you feel the board should grant your request. And your answer reads, I was arrested for discharging my handgun in a wood area against a safe backstop. I am currently in the diversion of the program and expect the charges to be dismissed. Now, Is it accurate to say that you were arrested not only for discharging a handgun, but also that another person with you was allowed by you to fire a handgun?
Yes.
And that you also misrepresented facts to the police, which caused several hours of delay locating the firearm. Is that not correct?
Yes. I mean, so like I said, well, so she has fired firearms before. I know her family, and they own firearms. Also, I allowed her to fire. I think she was all right to fire a firearm.
And as far as this, you agree with me that you were arrested not only for the discharge of the firearm, but also for having complicated the investigation of this matter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Okay. Questions by the board? Chief?
You've been drinking at all that night, even one drink?
No. No, I'm not. I do not drink. In all honesty.
Who owned the beer that was in the car?
It may have been hers. I'm usually the designated driver anytime anything happens, anytime there's a gathering. I really don't drink. I had brought somebody else home earlier that night. There's a possibility that he had it. I'm not 100%.
Had the woman been drinking?
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think she... So I'll say if she was, it was hours and hours earlier.
Well, you heard the testimony from the other officer.
Yes,
so, it was not clear about you, but it certainly was about her that she had been drinking.
So again, I thought that she was fine, but again, you know, I'm not trained to...
You thought she was fine. What does that mean?
I mean, she was walking straight. She was normal. She was talking like she normally would any other day. Everything seemed fine to me.
So you thought she was fine to handle firearm in the woods and then in the dark?
Yeah, I mean, we had flashlights.
All right, you said you made a mistake.
Yes.
What was that mistake?
Going out that night. You're just leaving my house.
Well, that's not a mistake.
Ultimately.
You went to a funeral service.
Yes.
So that's not a mistake. What mistake did you make?
Like I said, she had said that she wanted to essentially blow off steam and fire a gun. She knew I had a gun, and I allowed her to do that, and it was just a terrible judgment call on my part.
Okay, that's one mistake. What else?
Doing it there, I mean, again, there's hundreds of acres of land. Like I said, really no, as long as you're in the woods and you're pointing into the woods, there's really no chance of an incident occurring.
When you did that, did you think you were doing something wrong?
So growing up, there's really only one place you can go in Ansonia. It was the Ansonia Erotic Gun Club. The wait was years. So that's where, you know, a lot of people I knew would go. And
all right, but again, did you think you were doing something wrong? Do you think it was okay? Not in retrospect, at the time.
So I'll say that I've never heard of anybody. I wouldn't have expected for it to turn into what it did.
Well, why did you run then?
I panicked. I mean,
but why'd you panic if it was not a big deal?
There's a lot of lights showing up. You know, it's not something I was just trying to avoid the situation after that. You know, it was just.
But avoid what situation? If you get you thought it was okay, and you think you could have walked out and said, "Yeah, we were just shooting here. It's okay, right?"
I don't own that land, so no, it's not okay. But you know, I'm thinking if there's going to be somewhere to go, it's going to be raw land, hundreds of acres. You know, that's yes, I was doing it wrong. It was I didn't go about it the right way.
Did you fire a round from the parking lot?
No.
How did the shell casing end up in the parking lot?
The only thing I can think of for that, if that was a shell casing from my firearm, was that she possibly picked up a souvenir to take back. You know, just maybe a round that she fired because she wanted to keep the shell. That's the only possible thing I could think of.
She ran and was captured by the officer. She didn't go back to the car with her.
So when the police officer showed up, we were walking out from the woods. We were much further up into the woods than where they showed up, where that parking lot is. That parking lot's not visible from where you go into the woods.
Right. My point is, though, she didn't get back to the car before the police got to her.
Which is, I mean, so then the best thing that I could say is that that was not from my firearm. We're not the only ones that have been in those woods shooting.
Well, that wasn't in the woods. It was in the parking lot. Is your gun a 40 caliber?
Yes.
Because that's what the casing was, the testimony was.
Yes. I would never allow that firearm to be shot that close to the road. That's in all honesty. I would not allow that.
So it's a coincidence?
As stupid as it may sound, try matching it to the other rounds or whatever. There's no way that was from mine. If it was fired in that parking lot, there's no way it was from my weapon.
All right. Thanks.
Attorney Sinetti.
Okay, so you're in the woods with the woman. Shots are fired into the tree. Now, like you say, lights, police are coming, all this stuff. So what'd you do with the gun at that point?
I had it on me the entire time, all the way up until I spoke with the officer on the phone and I came up. And it's one of those situations where there's just too much happening in the world right now. I did not want to walk out with a bunch of armed officers knowing that I had a firearm on me. I just didn't want it on me at the time.
So what'd you do then?
I placed it. I believe it was under the log. I don't know. They said it was on top of the log. I don't think it was where I can find it in a heartbeat, but nobody else, I think, would be able to find it.
Okay. And what was your intention to do with the gun after all this had settled down?
I own the gun. I wasn't going to leave it. I had to go back and get it.
Okay.
If I was able to get out, you know, again, I just really wanted to get out of the situation as quick and smoothly as possible.
So I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. Sort of what I asked the officer here. So had you not been arrested, you're talking to the police at that point, whatever transpired, what would you have done about the gun in the woods at that point?
I would have gone back rather than.
You realize leaving a loaded gun in the woods is not a real good thing to do?
Yes, terrible, terrible decision. I understand that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
What made you choose the park?
I mean, like I said, it's just the biggest section of raw land where less likely for anything to really happen. There's good backdrop in there. People shoot in there. There's, you know, wood there in the woods. There's an area where there's like car doors and stuff like that people shoot at. I'm not shooting at that, but you know, I'm not the only one that has gone in there. It's just, you know, the safest place I would say other than a shooting range.
Okay. What made you choose the spot where you hid the gun?
I could easily go back and find out. I knew the house across the street.
Okay, is that what it was? And how long have you had your pistol permit?
Since I was 21, 32.
Yeah. And what type of firearm was it?
It was a handgun.
Specifically?
Smith & Wesson MP40.
Okay. Ever been in trouble before?
Never.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement? You don't have to, I'm just asking.
Just a summary of why we should consider returning your permit to you, that's all.
The best I can say is I know I made a mistake and it will never happen again. I will make sure that, you know, I better decisions. And, you know, the pistol permit is something that I wanted my entire life as a kid growing up, and it's really what kept me out of trouble growing up, so up until this moment, you know. So it's really the best I can say.
Take a step back. Where's the gun now? Did it get returned to you?
It's actually at the okay. Hopefully still at the base front, but it may have been destroyed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Closing statement, Attorney Grassman.
Yes, thank you. Nobody's saying that the appellant's a bad guy, but as he has admitted, he exhibited terrible judgment over a period of hours, and it could have had a tragic consequence. Shooting any firearm in the dark is foolish, and then taking hours to fess up to what had occurred. Complicating the whole situation. Extreme poor judgment. It's a little early, frankly, in the view of the issuing authority, to return the appellant's permit to the appellant. If he were to come back in several years and there have been no further incidents, perhaps the perspective would be different, but the issuing authority takes the position that at this time, the revocation should stand.
Thank you. Counsel, brief factual.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection for suitability. The basis of the revocation is an incident that occurred in Ansonia in June of 2022. Around 3:30 a.m. on that date, Ansonia Police Department was dispatched to a shots fired call off a town road at a parking lot that was part of the state forest. The responding officers located a Dodge pickup parked in the parking lot and saw two individuals there. A female and male took off running into the woods. The female did stop when commanded to do so, taken into custody. The male continued to run into the woods. The vehicle that was parked there was later confirmed that it was the appellant's vehicle. The police officer saw a holster in the truck, spent 40 caliber round on the ground. Initially, the female companion denied any knowledge of any shots being fired. After being Mirandized, admitted to her shooting 3 to 5 rounds into a tree into the woods from a firearm belonging to her male companion. The Ansonia Police Department attempted to make contact with the male party, who the appellant was. They phone calls. After some time, they did reach him on his phone. He agreed to come out of the woods. He came, was taken into custody when he came out of the woods. He did not have the handgun on him. Initially, he said the firearm was at home. He had been brought home by a friend and then came back to the scene. After further questioning, being Mirandized, he did admit that the firearm was left in the woods. The police department was able to locate it very quickly based on the description of the location given to the police. The appellant was given accelerated rehabilitation, had been a permit holder at the time for about 7 or 8 years, has no criminal record, had no previous incidents with the police.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
This is an interesting case because clearly the appellant did a number of things which are troublesome. I mean, he firing a gun in an area where he's not supposed to be. It's at nighttime, as was pointed out. He was not forthcoming with the police when they arrived. And rather than own up to what he was doing, he hid a loaded gun in the woods. Having said that, he has no previous record. And I think in many ways what he exhibited was, I will say, human behavior. A friend in distress asked him to help her out. He accommodates her in a safe way. I mean, shooting into a tree, the bullets are going away from the populated area, and they're not going to be whizzing around out there. I think him putting the gun in the woods to hide it when he saw the police arriving, again, a human reaction, like, oh my God, we screwed up, let me hide this thing, maybe they'll go away. Not the right thing to do, but understandable perhaps. And then the thing that bothers me the most about this case is the loaded gun being left in the woods, but I think that, again, his intention was to retrieve that gun as soon as possible once the situation had taken care of itself. So I don't think the loaded gun being in the woods until 7 o'clock in the morning, sunrise, necessarily presented a danger to the public, as incorrect as that behavior it was. So I think there's something to be said on either side of this, and I'm still making up my mind. Thank you.
Other comments?
I think if the appellant, the appellant's choice of location was close enough to a residence in which there was a 911 call. It wasn't like Ansonia was driving by, saw just a parked truck and investigating, heard some shots. The police were called, and if they had come out of the woods, say they shot into the tree and he was issued a ticket for unlawful discharge or whatever, I'd look at it differently. But I expect a little different behavior from Connecticut pistol permit holder. This is a conscious effort to not only evade police, hide evidence, consciously try and, you know, told the police very consciously, he had a story made up that he had been brought home, the gun was actually at his residence, a friend brought him there, he came back. I just think more of a permit holder than that. Again, if he'd made a mistake, was shooting in the woods, probably shouldn't have been, happens more often than not. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. The whole conscious effort to deceive the police, take off running, make up a story, hide the gun in the woods, that's what bothers me.
any comments?
Same line. The shooting at the tree is not the best decision. The fleeing, lying about it, hiding the gun, allowing someone who had been drinking apparently to shoot the gun in the dark at 3:30 in the morning, someone who was described as emotionally upset already. There's too many bad decisions there. Okay. And it was only 2022. It didn't happen when the appellant was 21 years old. It happened when he was 31, I think he said. 28? That's right, 2 years ago.
No other comments? My comment is, yeah, it just seemed like a spiral. It's like you started with a little thing, and then it just, in an attempt to make it better, you just made it worse, and a lot of hours of town time were spent. And you could have just come forward and avoided all that. So that will be weighing on my decision. Okay, Chief Rosenzweig.
Issue authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issue authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority at this time.
And Chair votes issuing authority at this time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you all.